that your Son may be seen in all his glory, that our eyes may be taken away from ourselves and from this world and put only on him, on you, Lord, because that's what your Father did. That is your place, Lord. You are preeminent and first, and may this be our desire to learn more about him this morning. Lord, speak through your Spirit. Speak to every heart and mind who is here now, that as the pages of scriptures are opened, that the Spirit of God may impress and grab hold of our hearts to remind us and encourage us and strengthen us in our faith. So thank you for your mercy, your power, and what you're doing again, Lord Jesus, in and through us. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. Amen. So it's going to be a little interesting as we start to take a look at the preeminence of Christ, but I'd like to start with some analogy, a little illustration. Does everybody know what this is? All right, so I need a timer. Say someone who has a timer that they can time. Just real quick, so raise your hand. Okay, good. I'm going to ask Jesse and Joachim, please come forward. Let's go. Come on. Come on up. So you'll see here at the bottom, let's see. Beginner is 0 to 30 seconds. Intermediate is 30 to 60. Advanced is 90 seconds. See, I'm all the way over here. I can't even do it. Okay, right? Yeah. One there and one right down there, because I don't think you're both going to fit. Yeah, right in the front. Okay, you go right here. Just yeah, you're not that tall. Come on. All right, on a count of three, let's get your positions down. Let's go. On a count of three, we're going to time you. One, two, three. Get this down a little. This is not easy. It's not easy. Right. All right, guys, what are we up to? 26 seconds. They just passed this right here. They're not beginners. They are praying right now. They are praying right now. All right, Echo, what do we got? 18. Let me know when we're getting close to a minute. Ooh, all right. Past the intermediate. Oh. We're starting to see a little shaking here. That's good. Oh, man, you guys are good. What are we up to? 1 minute 23. Everybody together. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. All right, very good. Woo! Thank you. Thank you. So what was the final? A minute and 40 seconds. Now, can anybody tell me what this is? It's your core, right? It's your core. Your core. The core is the central, innermost, or most essential part of anything. This has nothing to do with physical. This is just the definition of what a core is. Core of an apple, core of the earth, but the central, innermost, or most essential part of anything. Think about that and think about your Christian walk and your Christian life and who the Lord is in respect to that, right? I have to share with you a quick story. It's not even long at all, but our sister Brianna shared her testimony at our youth group. And one thing she said stuck with me And I was very encouraged in her walk with the Lord and serving the Lord. That is, that she needed to understand in order to survive out there, even in college and growing for the Lord had to be central, the center of her life. And it stayed with me, sister, so thank you for that. And in part, this morning is something that I wanted to share with you for us to see how God sees his son as central. The Father in heaven sees his son and has placed him in a position that is at the core of life. And if we see him there, the question is he there in my life? Is he at the core, at the center of my life? So the core muscles, as you saw the shaking going on there, think of your core as, and this is all medical stuff, think of your core as a strong column that links the upper body and lower body together. Having a solid core creates a foundation for all activities. That's why, you know, you see people walking this way, you know, poor posture. The core, what's in here, if it's strengthened, helps your posture, helps the way you walk. But it's at the very center of everything that helps you with your body and how you grow and live and act and walk and talk. Core exercises are those that use your trunk without support, like push-ups, sit-ups, and abdominal crunches. These exercises strengthen and train your lower back, your hips, your abdomen, and pelvis to work together for better balance and stability. Think about those last two words. For better balance and stability. Isn't that something that we need in our walk and in our life with the Lord? Well, I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ and the Father in heaven has given us the core for life. The core for life. He is at the center of our life, and he should be. And I pray this morning, if we turn to the book of Colossians, we're just going to look at these wonderful verses of scripture that elevate the Lord Jesus Christ in his right place and his right position. Just for the way of background, a lot of different things were going on in the book of Colossae, or in Colossae, the place of Colossae. Paul writes to them because there were a lot of different errors going on, a lot of false teaching going on in this church. And because of this false teaching in this church, Paul the Apostle had to elevate, and most false teachings emanate from a right understanding of who the Lord Jesus is. If we don't have a right understanding of who the Lord Jesus is, most errors fall within that. And this church, there were a lot of philosophies. Gnosticism was known in the early stages. Gnosticism, the Greek word is gnosis, or meaning knowledge. They were full of themselves, full of head knowledge and philosophy. They prided themselves on their knowledge and deep worldly wisdom. There was a false teaching that insisted that between God and this earth, a host of beings, angels, etc., formed a bridge of which host Christ was a member. So they believed in angels, and they believed in glorifying these angelic beings, and Christ was one among these. So they just talked about, oh yeah, Christ is, yeah, he's Lord, he's Christ. Maybe not Lord, but he's Christ. He's one of many things that we look up to for spiritual understanding and philosophy. This false teaching assigned to Christ a place subordinate to the true Godhead, denying his deity. The Gnostics also denied the true humanity of Christ. And so we'll find scriptures, just for example, if you're in Colossians, go to chapter 2 real quick. We're going to look at chapter 1, but chapter 2 real quick, it says, verse 8, beware lest anyone cheat you. See, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him, Christ, dwells the fullness. Now, you see Paul starting now to bring in the truth of Christ. So it's not philosophy, but it's Christ. In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power, right? Principalities and powers, we're going to get into that. They were into that. They were into the spiritual realms and the powers and principalities, the angels. But don't take your mind off Christ, because Christ is the one. Look at verse 18, chapter 2. Let no one defraud you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head. See, they weren't holding on to the trueness of who Christ was. He is the head. He is at the center. He's at the core. Don't let anyone take your mind off of these things. So Paul was trying to correct them. And if you just continue a little bit more in verse 21. Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concerning things which perish with the using according to the commandments and doctrines of men. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom and self-imposed religion. False humility and neglect of the body. They were into asceticism, but are of no value against the indulgences of the flesh. They cut themselves, beat themselves, try to make themselves more holy. So there were a lot of different things going on in this church, Colossae. But what we find, because of this, what we find is one of the greatest of truths that we find that comes right alongside Philippians chapter 2, where it talks about the humilities of Christ and the exaltations of Christ. C.I. Schofield says this about this passage we're about to read, or this book. No passage in the New Testament more fully sets forth the eternal glory of the pre-existent, omnipotent, exalted, an eternal Son of God. T. Bentley, in What the Bible Teaches, says, nowhere else does Paul touch such heights on this theme, the person of Christ. And it is impossible to read it without realizing that Christ possesses a glory and a station which can only move the soul to worship. Lastly, Herbert Lockyer says, to assert the supreme glory, the supremacy, and dignity of Christ, and to combat the heretical teaching regarding the worship of angels, Paul wrote this strong doctrinal epistle. In chapter 1, we have Christ as the one supreme transcendent personality with his unspeakable majesty. We're going to look at those verses now. The core, God's core for life. So Colossians 1, starting at verse 15. Colossians 1, verse 15. Follow with me, I'm New King James. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. God's people said, amen. Amen. This verse and this section is the glories of the Lord Jesus. We find seven superiorities of Christ. Number one, he is the image of the invisible God. We're going to look at these verses. We're going to go to Scripture. I want the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God to touch your hearts and minds. Look at the Scripture for yourself to see that the Bible is one complete elevation and glory of who the Lord Jesus is. He is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn. We're going to look at that. What does it mean? Firstborn over all creation. He created all things. 3, 4, he is before all things. 5, by or in him all things consist. 6, he is the head of the church. And number seven, he is preeminent in all things. You notice the all things? How many times it's used in the all things? It's all inclusive. And that's what God wants us to see. And so we're going to look, we'll divide these seven into three sections. Number one, in relationship to God. Number two, these attributes or superiorities is in relationship to creation. And then these last two we're going to look at is in relationship to the church. So these three sections are going to break out these seven superiorities of Christ, God's core for life. So let's go through these verses. Number one, he is the image of the invisible God. He is the image of the invisible God. The word image in the Greek, we get the word icon, which we get the English word icon, right? Icon, the English word. Our Lord Jesus is not merely a copy of God, but he is the visible representation of him. John chapter 14. Let's turn there for a minute. John chapter 14. Let's take a look at these verses together. Let's make sure that's the right reference. For some reason, that doesn't sound right to me. But Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Yes, this is fine. John chapter 14, verse 8. If you're with me, say amen. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me, right, has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? So the Lord Jesus is the image of the invisible. We want to know what God is like in all his glory and all his power. Look at the Son. Look at the Lord Jesus. Have I not been with you? Haven't you seen the miracles? Haven't you seen how I treated the poor? Haven't you seen the grace and the kindness? How do we know what God is like? Look at the Lord Jesus. He is the image, the visible representation. The Lord Jesus also has declared who God is. He is, we don't see him, but we see him in the Lord Jesus. Let's turn to John's Gospel, chapter 1, please. We're in John, right? No, yeah, we're in John 14. Go to chapter 1, please. John chapter 1. John chapter 1. The Lord Jesus Christ has declared him, shown him to us. John chapter 1, verse 18, you're there, say amen. Wonderful verse of scripture we see here. It says, no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. That word declared in the Greek is exegesis, or to exegete him. To declare him, to show him, to declare, to dissect him, to preach him in all his glory and all his facets. And the only person that can do that is the Lord Jesus Christ. So as you look at the person of Christ on earth and all that he did, he is the image of the invisible God. He declared him. The Lord Jesus is the manifestation of who God is. Let's go to Hebrews, please. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1 for another verse that links us to this example of who Christ is. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Okay, I just got there. Okay, if you're with me, say amen. Let me just wait 1 second. It's a great verse to tie together. Hebrews chapter 1, who, being in the brightness of his glory, talking about the Lord Jesus, let's pick it up in verse 2. God has spoken to us in these last days, spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Amen. Wonderful, glorious, powerful verses. He is the express image of his person. This quote from John MacArthur says, "The Son is the perfect imprint, the exact representation, and the nature, the exact representation of the nature and essence of God in time and space." Go back to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. The Apostle Paul is taken up with the Lord Jesus. God the Father is bringing him into focus so that any false teaching, anything else that these Colossians were looking at, would understand that the Lord Jesus outshines them all. Colossians 1:15, he is the image, the icon, the manifestation, the visible representation of God, the firstborn over all creation. The firstborn over all creation. Firstborn, first of all, doesn't mean first to be born, or first to be created, or a reference to time or date. We have to wrap our minds around the Old Testament culture of what firstborn really means. And firstborn in this context means a place of superiority. It is a place of supremacy. It is a place of uniqueness. It is more of rank than it is of time or creation or creature. It is one of preeminence and position or rank. Just to show you an example of that, let's take a look in the Old Testament in Psalms 89, talking about David. So let's turn to Psalms 89. The book of Psalms, there's other verses, but we don't have time to go into them all. But this concept, it's important because some people have taught that firstborn, especially Jehovah's Witnesses, say, you see, he was created. Firstborn, not understanding the context and the Greek and understanding how God interprets this, this meaning of firstborn. So Psalms 89, if you're there, say amen. Amen. Okay, I can't say it. Can't say it. All right, here we go. 89:27 says, "I," talking about David, "I will also make him my firstborn, the highest of the kings of the earth." David was one of eight siblings. He wasn't the firstborn, but in God's context, he was his superior, chosen king. He was to be the highest of the kings of the earth. There's a verse in Exodus, I won't turn there, but there's a verse in Exodus that's tied to this, that God calls Israel his firstborn. Israel wasn't the first of nations, but in God's mind, he was his firstborn. Therefore, Israel was rightfully the heir of all the inheritance, and the goodness and graces of God. So in the context here in Colossians chapter 1, what we're seeing is the elevation of Christ. Amen? The elevation. You want to see what God's like? God is invisible. Christ is the visible representation, the icon, the image. Not only that, but he is my firstborn. In both Greek and Jewish culture, the firstborn was the ranking son who had received the right of inheritance from his father, whether he was born first or not. So Christ, again, is elevated to a high position, a position that we should take notice of, a position in Scripture that if we apply and appropriate in our own lives, it will put to rest anything that's in our lives that we consider mountains in our trials and sufferings in this life. Why? Because our eyes are on Christ. And we'll have that straight posture and the right balance to life, because my core, who I am, all that I am, how I see my life, how I see my struggles, how I see my victories, is because I have Christ at the center of my life. I don't go on living a life without spending that time in prayer before I leave the house. Or I read scripture, or I spend time in prayer. He's at the center. What? God puts him there. Creation puts him there. The angelic hosts put him there. We're going to look at that. Why shouldn't I? I should see, put him there at the core, at the very center. So he is the image of the invisible God. The firstborn, the highest ranking. He is first over all of creation. And he goes on to explain why he is the firstborn. Why is he the ranking son? Why is he the ranking Lord? Why is he superior? Why is he supreme? Because he created all things. It goes naturally into the next verse. Verse 16. For by him all things were created. All things. Now, he's blowing away these false teachers. Blowing away that these false teachers thought that Christ was subordinate. He was just one of the hosts of angels. It was about philosophy. It was about Gnosticism. It was about all of these different things. How to live and how to deny your flesh. Right? He's debunking all of these truths by elevating the Lord Jesus Christ to the place where he is not only a representation in the image of God, not only is he the firstborn, but he created all things. So, by him all things were created. We have to be, as students of the Bible, and as we study scripture, we have to ask the Lord to help us not to rush past the words of scripture. Amen? The little words of scripture say so much. And we have to take our time to rest in the word of God, to allow what God is saying about his son make an impact in our lives. And so we're going to look and dissect these verses. Oh yeah, God, for by him all things were created. So okay, what did we come away with? Yeah, God, through the Lord Jesus, he created all things. But there's so much more in these verses. For by him, he is the cause. He is the architect of creation. Now we looked at Hebrews chapter 1 and we read it, but we didn't focus on this aspect. So let's go back to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. And look at this in context of this one in Colossians 1, which is that he is the cause or the architect of creation. Not only did he create it, but he was behind the creation. When we think of creation, yes, it's the creation, but think of the actual process of creating. What it takes when you think of an architect and you look at the building and you look at the corners and you look how beautiful a building, you must say, wow, that was an amazing designer, right? Wow, what was he thinking when he thought about those curves? And that's an attractive building. Look at the universe. Look at the heavens. The Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God. Look at us. Look at how we're created, how intricate we are. Hebrews 1. If you're there, say amen. Okay, I'm there. Verse 2. Speaking about the Lord Jesus, he has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom, also he made the worlds. Brother Rich, what does King James say? Actual King James?
Which verse?
I'm sorry, I caught you off guard. I'm sorry about that. All right, sorry, brother. Who is King James, brother? Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, the last part of verse 2.
By whom also he made the worlds.
Okay, perfect. From whom he also made the worlds. Let's see, I have a little note there. Do you guys look at your notes in your Bibles? You guys look at your cross-references? Let me tell you, cross-referencing the Word of God, looking at these verses, they give you a bigger insight into what God is trying to say. So look at your little notes and look at your little, and understand how your Bible is put together. The cosmos, he made the world. So think about it. By him, he is the cause, the architect. Not only did he create us, but the worlds, the planets, the solar systems, the galaxies. By him, he made all things. Look at this. Through him, that verse says. For by him, all things were created. And through him, he is the powerful agent. He is the powerful agent. John chapter 1. Let's go there, please. Guys, I'm going to take you to scripture. I want you to look at this. I want the word of God to be an encouragement to your heart for you to see the elevation of the glory of Christ. John chapter 1. He is the agent of creation. It was through by him and through him. Chapter 1 verse 3. If you're with me, say amen. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. He is the powerful agent. And then, wow, look at this one. For him. For him. Colossians 1, we just read it. It says, for by him all things were created that are in heaven, earth, visible, invisible. All things were created through him and for him. Don't go past that. Because the Bible's full of verses to show that the Lord of heaven and glory wanted a relationship with you and me. So, he is the intent of the creation. Creation's goal was Christ. To have us with him. Look at this great verse. Revelation 4. Revelation chapter 4. Concerning this. That it was for him. He created the glories of heaven. There's no other planet in the galaxy that has humankind, that has oxygen in a way that we can breathe and live. We were made in his image for his glory. We were made for him. He is the intent of creation. Revelation 4:11. If you're there, say amen. Oh boy. If you're with me, say amen. Okay, very good. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. I wonder if that's the verse I'm looking for. That's a wonderful, powerful verse. Let's see here. There's another verse, brothers, if you could help me, in this area, I thought I had it, that says, and we were created for him, and for him. Let's see. Yeah, I think it's Revelation. Just a few more minutes. If not, the Lord will bring it to me. Okay, we'll move on. The verse that I'm thinking about says that we were created for him. Okay, but that's fine. This verse 4:11 is fine. All things, next point. All things in heaven. Notice, go back to Colossians 1. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1. Paul starts now to break down what are the things that he created. For by him, we looked at that, he is the cause. Through him, he is an agent. And for him, he is the intent. But he created all things in heaven, on earth, visible and invisible. So if you notice, heaven and earth, we could see the visible things that he's created, but we can't see the invisible things that he's created. So Paul goes on to say, what were those invisible things? That's a good one. Yes, that's a good reference. No, that's fine. Read it, brother. Amen. Wonderful verse. So what are the invisible things that God created, that the Lord Jesus created? He says, whether things on earth, visible or invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. So the invisible things are the thrones, the dominions, the principalities, and these are angelic hosts. These are angelic beings. Whether fallen or not, he is Lord of all of them. He is over all of them. And this, by Paul saying this, debunks again their worship of angels and what they thought angels brought to their understanding. That the Lord Jesus was not only over them, but he is their authority. They answer to him. He is over them. And he's created them, these principalities and powers. How do I know that these are angelic beings and hosts? Stay here. Colossians 1, Ephesians 6 for a second. Ephesians 6, the warfare that we have with the enemy. The enemy is very organized. And we find in Ephesians chapter 6 concerning the armor of God, who we fight against or wrestle. It's not against flesh and blood. What we can see is by what we cannot see. And so Ephesians 6, if you're with me, verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. These are the invisible places. This is talking about the fallen angels, but the Lord Jesus created them all, and he's over them all. And his throne and authority is over them all. One other quick reference. Colossians, stay there, right, in chapter 1. Chapter 2. Colossians 2, talking about what the Lord has done in defeating the law that was against us. Chapter 2, verse 14. Colossians 2, 14. You with me? Say amen. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, he has taken it out of the way. The Lord has taken away those handwriting, the law, having nailed it to the cross, right? But look at 15. Having disarmed, nullified principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. He is victor, conqueror over the principalities and powers. He made a spectacle of them. Think about a king who just conquered a war, and he's welcomed back. He's welcomed back, and everybody is, you know, giving him glory and praise. And he, behind him are his enemies. If you think of those who conquered kings, the kings are in shackles, and they're being brought as he comes back to his land, and everyone's grateful that he conquered, and he shackled the king that he conquered. The Lord Jesus did that. He conquered, and in glorious, they're praising him, and he disarmed the principalities. He was vicar over them, triumphing, hope I'm saying that right, over them in it. What I want you to get from these verses are, not only he is the creator of the invisible things and the principalities and the powers and the authorities, but he's over them. He is superior to them. He is more glorified than they are. This is the position the Father puts on him. He is the firstborn. He is the image of the invisible God. God, through the Lord Jesus, he created through him, by him, for him. And he created thrones and dominions and all of these things. And at the end of verse 16, all things were created through him and for him. If that's not enough, are you full? I'm full. I'm praying that the Lord will help you and help me get full and understand that the more physically we exercise our core to have stability, we have to meditate on these truths. We have to look at the Lord Jesus in a different light. Because the more we look at him, the less we look at our problems. The more we look at the world's things and understand that he is more than able to sustain me. Amen? He is the core at the center of our lives. All things were created through him and for him. Think about that. You and I were created for him. What does that do to you as far as having purpose? Purpose. value. You have value. You have worth. God created you with purpose because not only out of all of the creation and the glories and the invisible and the principalities and the powers, David could say, what is man that you are mindful of him? Because out of them all, his delight is with the sons of men. He wants a relationship with you. If you are here this morning and you're hearing these truths and you don't know what we're talking about, Jesus Christ was made man. He became incarnate. He left heaven's glory and he came on earth and took our penalty. Man sinned against God and he took our penalty and was our substitute because he loves us. Amen? He redeemed mankind because he created us for himself. We won't ever understand that he has done that. And that what he wants from me is to trust him. What he wants from me is to love him. What he wants from me is to understand that he's full of glory and power and majesty. And that he is for us. And that he loves us. And that he wants to use us. He wants us to make a difference in this world. And in order for us to do that, we must have a right understanding of who he is in God's eyes and in relationship to this world. What powerful truths they are to the heart. Verse 17, he is before all things. And here I pause about the words of Scripture. Some of the commentators say, just stop at he is. He is. It takes some commentators to take this, he is before all things, and stop at he is, and relate it to the I am of Exodus chapter 3. Moses says, when I go back, what will I say that who you are? I am that I am. The self-existent God, the uncaused cause. I am God. The Lord Jesus made reference to this. Before Abraham was, he said, I am. The very fact that he is. The words of Scripture, the Pharisees were arguing with the Lord Jesus concerning marriage and resurrection. And they said, Lord, if a man marries a wife and the wife the husband dies, and through custom the custom of Israel, the brother would take on his wife to carry on his name, and then he died, and then another brother took her as wife, and then he died. It was an erroneous question to disrupt the Lord. The Lord answered and says, you don't know what you're talking about. Because in the resurrection, there is no marriage, but we elevate our states in being like the angels in that we glorify God. We are with the Lord. It's a better position than to be married. Then he says, but since you asked me a question, what did David say concerning his Lord? If David is God's son, why did he call him Lord? Why did he call him Lord? He said, you are the God of Abraham. You are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. He is. I am. So think about that. He is. And think about that in your life and in my life, that God, no matter what's happening in your heart, no matter what's happening in your life, he is. He is there. He is alive. He is active. No matter what we see in this world and in your own lives, he's active. He is working. He is powerful. So he is, look at 17, he is before all things. He is prior to all things. Verse 7, John 17, 5 says, and now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Before the world was. He is before all things. And by him or in him, all things consist. This is one, if you meditate on for a week or so, will just blow your mind. Blow my mind. And here it says, and in him, by him, all things consist. They hold together. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. We keep going back to Hebrews because it's a great reference. One more time. Hebrews 1. Hebrews 1, verse 3. Again, now within this context, listen to this verse. Hebrews 1, 3. That by him all things consist or hold together. Verse 3, Hebrews 1. Who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, here it is, upholding all things by the word of his power. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1, we are kept by the power of God. We are kept intact. Here it says he upholds all things by the word of his power. The God told the sea to stop and not come into dry ground. He told it to stop. He told the waves when the disciples were in the boat, peace, be still. By the word of his power, he keeps the atom together. He holds the solar system in check. He holds the sun where it is so it doesn't scorch us, and the moon where it is so we don't freeze. Think about all of these things. He holds all things, upholding all things by the word of his power. Christ sustains the universe, maintaining the power and balance necessary to life's existence continually. Think about that. Think about all that's happening. For once, if this is even unheard of, this can't even happen. But to think that if for one thought he would forget, which he can't, this world will blow up. Right? It would just disintegrate. There are things in the cosmos with science and biology and chemistry that we don't understand. Think about how blood is flowing through our body. You know, I was talking to, we were allowed to go visit Marlon, and he was explaining to me a little bit about dialysis, and he was talking about how, you know, you just sit down and he has this thing, and the blood is being circulated all throughout his body, from one machine going out to the other machine coming in. And as it goes throughout his body, the screens are showing what's inside his blood. It's showing what's deficient. At the same time, it's giving him medicine. Cholesterol, calcium, potassium, whatever's missing, as the blood is going through his system out, which takes about 3 hours of dialysis, it's actually healing him. Some people, he said to me, dialysis, you think about it, oh, dialysis, not that it's not serious, it is. But at the same time, it's a remedy and a help. What did the Lord say? The life is in the blood. The life is in the blood. Think about what he created in us, this life, blood within us, to help us live. What glories of the Lord Jesus there is. And in him, all things consist. The last one, the Lord Jesus is the sustainer of the universe and the source of its perpetual motion. Isn't that great? Amen? That's awesome. Now, if he can hold the world, can he hold your life? Can he hold your life together? Do you have times where you think, I can't go on anymore? I can't hold it together. I'm going to explode. That is the flesh. It's the enemy. And we all go through it. We're human. But it is at that very point where God works. It is at that very point where God wants us to let go. And he wants us to say, trust me. Trust in my sovereignty. Trust in my power. Meditate on who I am. Richie and I were talking about sometimes we live by our emotions. And we can't, because once they're up, then they're down. One day this, one day I feel this way. We can't live by our emotion. Like, we don't feel like God is there or He's with us or what's happening in our lives. And we live according to our emotion. We got to live according to the truth of God's Word, what God says about it, what God says in His Word. And you trust it no matter how you feel. And that's when God continues. Not that He hasn't, but He's brought you to that point. I was listening to a message by Steve Holshiser, brother that was my mentor. He says that there are trials of, oh Lord, help me here. What's the one? There are trials of perfection that God wants to bring into our lives. Not just, there it is, thank you Lord. There are trials of correction, and there are trials of perfection. The correction, maybe we've done something, He wants to discipline us and let us see who He is. But He allows trials of perfection to bring us closer to who He is, to see His glory. When the disciples got into the boat, He told them, I'm going to take you to the other side, but He allowed the storm to come. He knew the storm was coming. He allowed them to go through it so they can get a sense, a deeper appreciation of who God was. Who is this man that even the seas obey Him? They got a deeper understanding. Without that storm, they wouldn't have seen it. See your storms as an opportunity to grow. Another thing he shared as I listened to Steve was, in our storms, God wants to bring the man to Himself. He wants to bring a woman to Himself. Because it starts with understanding, like, Lord, who am I in You, Lord? Who? And then to bring Himself to the man. He wants to bring the man to Himself, but then God, the Lord Jesus, wants to bring Himself to the man. And that's what the Lord wants to do. And this last verse, verse 18, He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence. And so, He is the head of the body in relationship to the church. His position is over the body. It is supreme, having authority over the church. He is the head of the body, the church. Just as a body is controlled from the brain, so Christ controls every part of the church as His body. Notice, He continues to put Him where He should be. At the top, supreme, high, at the core of life, at the core of everything. And notice the last part, don't miss it. He is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning. Who is the beginning? In this context, commentators, and I agree, is the beginning of the new creation. Through His death and resurrection, He formed the church. Who is the, not only he is the beginning, we looked at all those things, but who is the beginning, the creation of the church. He formed the church. He bought the church with his blood. Here we find the firstborn again. The firstborn in verse 18 and the firstborn of 15. In 15, He is the firstborn over creation, and here He is the firstborn from the dead. The firstborn from the dead is the first to rise again and to die no more. Some have risen, but He is the first to rise and die no more. He is the first to rise with a glorified body and rose as the head of the new creation. And last, why does Paul write these things? Why does God elevate the Lord Jesus? That in all things He might have the preeminence. Is He preeminent in your life? What is holding you together? What is stabilizing you? And is Christ your core? Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank You for the opportunity to be taken up with Your Son. I pray that Your Word and Your Word only would be and make an impact in our lives. Thank You, Lord, for the opportunity as we look through the glories of Christ. And Lord, we have not at all undertaken all that you have said and say about your Son, and who he is and what he has done and how you've elevated him. He is the firstborn, the unique, the first in line, the Alpha, the Omega, the author, the finisher of our faith. He is before all things. He's created all things for his glory, by him, through him, for him. Whether they be thrones or dominions, whether things on earth, he is at the core of life. Lord, help me, even as my sister encouraged my own heart, that he would be at the center of our lives, that we would see things through this perspective, that you are powerful and in control. You who hold all things together, Lord Jesus, encourage our hearts that you can hold us together. And not just hold us, but use us.